Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine until 11 o'clock. First hour flew by. More to come until 11. Talking to Joe Girardi in a little bit, Bruce. But the big news this morning from a Cubs perspective, I kind of chided him at the beginning of the show. The offseason really hasn't started. Does this count? I think Hector Neris is a quality signing. 1 year, $9 million for a right-handed relief pitcher. Made 71 appearances for the Astros last year, two seasons in Houston, followed beginning his career in seven in Philadelphia. What do the Cubs have in Hector Neris?
Well, they have a power arm, guy that's going to strike out a guy per inning over his career. Last year was one of his better career years at age 34, David. He'll play at 35 this June for the Chicago Cubs, a guy that power setup guy, a lot of years in Philadelphia, last couple with Houston, part of the World Championship team in 2022. So with all that in mind, it's certainly a good ad. As Jed Hoyer told us 2 weeks ago, the idea is that. Going the rest of the way here. The Cubs are in the fourth inning. Maybe they're up to the fifth or sixth inning right now. But I'd say one or two more bullpen guys. Bellinger, at the very least, is what more they have to do. I think they have to continue to add. I think they will.
What did you make of Jeff Passan's report on ESPN this week that Scott Boras clients are going to wait even longer? That it will be beginning of February, which is the next weekend, Bruce, before they start signing. We're talking about Bellinger. We're talking about Chapman. We're talking about Jordan Montgomery, three guys who have been at least in contact with the Cubs, certainly Bellinger. What did you think of that report before we go to Joe Girardi?
That this is something I've thought all along. It's a weak free agent market, and he's still looking for leverage. He doesn't have leverage for his players. Otherwise, you wouldn't be hearing reports from the better reporters in the game right now about what Scott Boras is going to do entering February, okay? We're a couple weeks away from spring training. You think his clients are feeling good about their position right now? Probably not. If I had Scott as my agent, I would feel good because he doesn't need a lot of teams to usually get what he wants for his player. But on the other hand, you know, the wives, the kids, the families are going to want to know where we're going to go.
Let's find out what Marquee Sports analyst Joe Girardi thinks of the Cubs offseason. Like all of our guests, Joe now joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Joe, good morning. Welcome to Inside the Clubhouse. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Appreciate you joining us. And I guess this is a good segue because the Cubs signed Hector Neris this morning because they need help in the bullpen. They need help a lot of places. Their offseason has been somewhat slow. How do you describe what the Cubs haven't, or why the Cubs haven't been more active, and how concerned should Cub fans be as we sit here on January 27th?
Well, I think they've tried to be active. You know, I think they've been on some guys that they didn't necessarily get. They went out and got Imanaga, and, you know, I think it's a market that's kind of moved slow. And I think there's a lot of bargains to be had as time goes on. And I said, earlier in October that I thought this would be one of the toughest off seasons for the Cubs from a decision-making process because they have so many young players that are coming. And, you know, is a PCA ready? No one really knows. You know, you don't ever make too much of spring training in September. You just don't. There's some other young kids that are coming that are excited. You know, is Michael Bush an option at third base? Is Matt Shaw an option in the middle of the season? So I think it's tough from their standpoint is you don't want to get it locked into a lot of long-term deals at certain positions because you may have players that are just around the corner.
Joe, great having you on. I wonder if you can give us a sketch of Hector Neris and how he was for you when you were the manager of the Phillies, and certainly a veteran guy that has posted pretty much full seasons for most of his career.
Yeah, I absolutely loved him. He's a workhorse. He'll take the ball anytime. You know, you have to tell him no. He will not tell you no. You know, he has that great split. He has the ability to strike people out. He still has a fastball that's 93, 94 that he could use up in the zone to play off of that split. So I've always really liked him. He pitched really well for me. He pitched really well from Houston. You know, and he's pitched in a tough market in Philly, and he's pitched in the World Series and been successful in both. So I think the pedigree is there. I think it's a good addition because they need to, I believe, add to the bullpen because I think Julian Merriweather took a real step up. I think Quas was good. You know, what is Luke Little going to do? You know, Hector has the ability to get lefties out with that split. So I think that really helps along with, you know, Leiter Jr. So I think it's a really good move.
Joe, you mentioned the addition of Shota Imanaga, the lefty from Japan, who I think slots in that rotation somewhere. Where do you think he could be used, and how would you evaluate his ability to make that transition? You've had experience managing players who have come over from Japan, and the transition can take, depending on the player, it can be immediate or it can take some time. What do you expect with Imanaga?
Well, I think where you slot him is where you can get him on a schedule that he gets the extra days rest the most. I think that's the best place to probably slot him if you can, because they're going to need that with him because it is an adjustment for Japanese pitchers who come over because they're not used to the five-man rotation pitching every fifth day. So that's kind of how I would slot him. I think you're going to have to make some spot starts to kind of, you know, get him accustomed to the schedule. You know, I think the Mets did a really good job last year doing that. So I think that that's what you're going to have to look at. And, you know, the one thing is he is experienced, so that should help. But the schedule is something that you have to work around for a little bit until they get used to it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers, the celebrity guests? Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe, my favorite question for baseball people, and you've managed for so many years in the game and played for such a long time, is how impactful is a manager on a team, or is it all timing? And I ask that question with all due respect, because when you were fired by Philadelphia, I remember you coming on MLB Network right away and saying, look, Rob Thompson's going to do a good job with this team. I think it's a very good team, and I still think it has a chance to win. You were right on all, and you were magnanimous about it. The reality of having Craig Counsell replace David Ross, how do you put a number on differences that a manager can make in a given year on a team winning or losing?
Well, I, I think that where he has a chance to have the biggest impact is the maturation of the young players and the bullpen. You know, can he get more out of the bullpen? Now, he's had really good arms in Milwaukee to go to in his bullpen, guys that have experienced, guys that have been great closers, rookie of the years, all-stars. And those are the things that he's going to have to really make an impact on. Spring training is vital for him to get to know the players and what makes them tick and the organization, who he feels that can come up and help when they need help, understanding what that player has the ability to do. I think for Craig, he'll pay more attention in spring training than maybe he normally does just because he has so much to learn about his roster and guys that could be on his roster. But I think he can make a difference. I do. I think David Ross did a really good job. I really do. But this is the guy that has a really good pedigree and has won a lot, and I think that's why the Cubs went and got them. How many game difference is it? I don't know. I don't think you can really predict that. A lot of times it really comes down to how the players perform in certain situations and tight situations in those close games. But a manager's personality can have something to do with that.
Talking with Joe Girardi here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, David Hall, Bruce Levine, until 11 o'clock. Joe, let's go back to November, because I do think that was such a shocking story, really. It's a cutthroat business. And you look around professional sports, and the NBA fires Adrian Griffin, the Bucks do, and they hire Doc Rivers. You look at the NFL, and you know, you wonder about the Jim Harbaugh inclusion and insertion into some teams. And is somebody going to fire their coach to hire Bill Belichick? The Cubs did that with David Ross. They hired Craig Counsell. They did that with Ricky Renteria when they hired Joe Maddon. As an old school guy, as a manager who respects the impact that role can have on a season, an organization, what was your reaction to the Cubs going out, firing David Ross, and hiring Craig Counsell?
I was a little shocked because there was no mention of it, of him interviewing with the Cubs. I thought, you know, he was possibly going to end up in New York because of the relationship with the president there, or he was using it for leverage in Milwaukee. But I'm not shocked that he took the job, just because there's a lot more resources in Chicago than Milwaukee, and Milwaukee has been extremely successful with the resources that they have. But I was not shocked. I think he sees that and understands that really the only thing that Craig Counsell hasn't done is win a World Series, and that's what he wants the opportunity to do. And a lot of time resources have a lot to do with that, and maybe that's what he felt.
Joe, when you look at the 2024 Cubs, they're incomplete right now, and Jed Hoyer has been on record as saying they're only in the fourth or fifth inning, and signing Neris certainly takes them to another level in the bullpen. But when you look at the Bellinger situation, if Jed sat down with you and Carter Hawkins and they asked you, you know, we can sign Bellinger back. We've offered 5 and 6 years. We don't want to go past that. They want 8. We have a chance of losing him. How would you advise them going forward, knowing that Bellinger is only a couple years away, you know, from having two rough seasons, and before that, an MVP and a rookie of the year? How would you evaluate that for them? What would you say?
Well, I think the 8 years comes into play if you think that you really have a chance to win the World Series. Then you're willing to do that. Or you feel that a lot of clubs are making an 8-year offer and this is the guy you really want. My guess is he hasn't gotten an 8-year offer, and that's why he's still out there. And, you know, I think it's kind of like it's a game of chicken in a sense. I mean, that's what negotiations are. And I think that the Cubs probably don't want to go over 5 or 6 years. And I understand that. And I understand the player wanting 8. We all wanted security when we were players. And as I said, a lot of times there's a lot of good deals to be had at the end of January and early February, because players start to get a little itchy and want to know where they're going to go. I heard you talking about families want to know where they're going to go. And then at some point, I think you realize that, you know, 6 years or 8 years, you know, 6 years at let's just say 150 or 8 at 200, is it going to change my life? And, you know, I think if you're Cody Bellinger, you're probably saying no, and that Chicago's a place I really want to be. I love playing there. I thrive there. So I think it's just kind of waiting out. I think he knows he has deals on the table from clubs, and if he really wants to go someplace, I would tell him, you know, don't let someone else take your money.
Joe, we have to ask you this week, with Joe Mauer going into the Hall of Fame as a first ballot Hall of Famer, what you think about how hard it is for catchers to get into Cooperstown, what you think about Joe Mauer doing that on the first ballot, because it doesn't happen a lot. There's only 60, I think, guys who have been first ballot Hall of Famers, and even the list is much smaller when you look at catchers. He's got the ninth highest WAR among catchers all time. And yet, there wasn't a lot of pushback, but a lot of people like, wow, I don't know if he was a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think he was. I voted for him and believe it was the right move. What did you think as you, a former catcher, watched Joe Mauer enter baseball immortality this week?
Oh, I was happy for him, and I think he is a Hall of Famer. And sometimes I don't understand that, you know, whether you're a first ballot or a second ballot or a third ballot. I don't understand that changes, right? How do you get more votes or less votes? If you were thought of as a Hall of Famer by someone, then you're a Hall of Famer in a sense to me. So I've never really understood that. But I mean, he was a difference maker. I mean, to win three batting titles as a catcher, that's nearly impossible. And the way he did it, and he played every day, and I know he got beat up at the end, and concussions took its toll on him, but was there a more productive catcher in those 10 years? Probably can say no. And I think that's why he's a Hall of Famer. I think he had such an impact, and he was good defensively. He was not just an offensive catcher. So I'm not surprised that he got in first ballot. As I said, if you're a Hall of Famer, I think you're a Hall of Famer.
And Joe, you had Jorge Posada, and there's been a lot of conversation about, well, you know, if you look at his offense and the way he improved defensively, and I know you had a tremendous amount to do with that as well in his career, why not Posada? Why isn't he gotten more love? Why was he off the ballot so quickly? Your thoughts on those type of arguments, especially for Posada?
Yeah, I think that sometimes the offensive numbers get compared to offensive numbers of the other positions, and that's not fair. I think you have to compare him only to catchers and catchers that played every day, like Georgie. I mean, Georgie played 130, 140 games a year. He hit home runs. He drove in runs. He was an on-base guy. I think he's a Hall of Famer. There's no doubt in my mind that he's a Hall of Famer. He was that good. But sometimes you get compared to the guys in your era, like Pudge Rodriguez, who was overall had better numbers than Jorge Posada, but when you look at Jorge's numbers, there aren't many catchers that can do what he does. And moving forward, how many catchers are going to do what he did? Because now they split the catching.
Right.
So, Joe, as we sit here 3 weeks before spring training, you'll be asked this a lot before opening day. But I'm just curious, as we revisit the whole Craig Counsell impact on the season ahead, what do you think will be the most obvious change? I don't want to suggest that it will be a shock to anybody's system, but when you're watching the Cubs on a daily basis and studying the lineups and the in-game moves and all of the things that we do when we are watching all 162 games, what do you think we will come away with and say, that is the biggest way that Craig Counsell has made his presence known?
You know, I really don't know. I'm going to have to watch. You know, what I've heard him talk about is finding a position for Christopher Morel. And that might be the biggest impact, because I think you have to find a way to put his bat in the lineup every day. And you know what? He's going to go through 0 for 25s where he strikes out 12 times. But you can't predict when he's going to hit that big three-run homer or hit a two-run homer or, you know, hit a triple. And by trying to always figure out, you know, he's not swinging the bat well, I don't like this matchup, I don't like this matchup, I don't like this matchup, I think sometimes he's not allowed to grow. And I think where it might be different is, you know, David Ross, he had to hear some of the noise. I mean, when you're a manager and you're not making the playoffs, you hear some of the noise. And Craig Counsell's not going to hear that. because he's been through it, and he's coming in, and he's got, I think, 5 years, and he's, I think he's going to stick to his guns with Christopher Morrell, and I think that might be the biggest impact, because the one thing that I think this lineup needs, and they lost Cody, is impact bats, and that might be the biggest impact bat that they have right now.
Joe, in closing with you, David and I appreciate your time, and you know, all the best. Hope you're coming back for more time on Marquee this year. When you look at Morrell, you know, Hoyer and I have a difference of opinion on him, and he says, well, we think he can play a number of positions, so we're not worried about necessarily where he's at. I believe he does play a lot of positions, but none of them very well. And that to just have one position for him where he can just go and relax and, as you say, make an impact every 12 swings to maybe win you a ball game. Your thoughts on young athletic players who aren't necessarily very good at any position?
I think that you have to ride it out, and you hope that in a lot of situations that one little miscue that he has defensively doesn't cost you a game. I mean, the chances are it costing you a game are not great when you think about it, because there's a lot of teams that aren't great defensively that end up really deep in the playoffs. I mean, that's the bottom line. A lot of times the best defensive clubs don't necessarily even make the playoffs. That's the bottom line, too. It's about scoring runs and outscoring the other team, and I think the value that Christopher Morrell brings offensively will outweigh the miscues that he has defensively. And, you know, I've had players like that over my career that you said, hey, you know what? Sometimes you just got to look away when they're out there defensively and let their offense take over, because it's going to happen. I mean, the Cubs
not
have
if
had
they
players
catch.
Like that.
Not if they right? catch, well, Joe. Yeah.
Yeah. But the Cubs have had players like that, you know, defensively at times have had miscues, but they were great offensive players, and you let them carry you.
Right.
So I think that's what's going to happen with Christopher. The only thing that you worry about is that, and so far from what I've seen from him, he's able to turn the page, that a defensive lapse doesn't affect his offense. And I have not seen that from him in the short time I've been with Marquee.
Joe, we really appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of the offseason, and really looking forward to you being back in the Marquee studio in the season ahead.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.